Hello, everybody. You're on the Mike and Abe show, everyone around the world. And we have Carolyn here today. And we're going to talk about the new FHV proposal, a bill that's coming up in the city council. But Mike, why don't you start and talk to Carol for a minute? I'll be right back.
Well, Carolyn, as you know, the Academy Awards are tonight, so I'm hoping... I was going to list you as best interview on New York One, but apparently not to be. So what happened with that?
Oh,
give us
yes.
A little background.
My television stardom has been thwarted. We were preempted because the schools chancellor, Carvalho, decided he didn't want to be schools chancellor. And in the middle of an interview, he went away for 5 minutes, just like Abe went now. And when he came back, he no longer wanted to be chancellor. So that was a big story. On New York One, and that's why we got preempted. But I think we're going to be on this coming week. We'll see.
Wow, that's a little creepy. I wonder if there's somebody like handed him a manila envelope with black and white glossies or something like that.
Yeah, I know. He said it was because, you know, his people in Miami love him so much, but he must have known that before he, you know, came out for that interview. So who knows what happened.
I guess, you know, it takes that last moment for thousands of people to say they love you simultaneously at a press conference, you know, so
yeah.
I guess that's what he needed, you know. I know I need that, so listen, we want to get you back on the air. That was, in my opinion, that was evil, because all of a sudden I was sending people out. I was going to get you Super Bowl ratings for this little
wow.
New York One show.
You know, I hardly told anybody. I must have had a feeling.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to tell anybody until that morning. And then I got the word.
I'm the same way. It's like if somebody says we're going to do an interview or you want to come by the studio, I used to tell people, and then stuff like that would happen where I get canceled. So now it's just I tell them after the fact. I said, oh, I can send you a clip because you pre, you know, scheduled everything, and these people just pull the rug. Like for this guy, I would be 100% sure more people want to hear about Uber than some yo-yo from Miami. Here's the thing with the school chancellor. Don't we have anybody in New York who can run the school? I mean, we have to go thousands of miles. Thousands of miles away to get to some guy from Miami.
I don't get it. They keep saying it's the crown jewel of public school systems in the whole country. Well, if that's true, don't we have an assistant chancellor who could have stepped up?
Well, I mean, it's ironic because with the Taxi Limousine Commission, they hired from within where we got chairperson Yoshi now, who, as we all know, is the finest lawyer in the history of the legal system, and I think they found her after a 6 month investigative study with 400 applicants, and she of course did get through the vetting process, and now we have the finest commissioner in the history of the world. I'm being very sarcastic.
Well, two things about her. She's a Philadelphia lawyer. She's actually from Philadelphia. Yeah, she's not from here.
Was it from Cheerios University, or where'd she get her law degree?
I read about a RICO case that she handled once as one of the lawyers in the case. That's all I know about her. But the other strange thing about her is she was chief counsel at the TLC, and then she took a little break. And during that little break is when they had the auctions with the $850,000 upset price.
Right.
So she wasn't there for that auction, and then she came back as commissioner.
Well, statistically, I mean, I'm looking at the math here. She's been the absolute worst chairperson in the history of the Taxi Limousine Commission. Looking at the numbers, it just and everybody, you know, I mean, I get into a thing where I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm hating on her, but I'm just looking at the math. She came in, the medallions were worth $1 million each, and now they're scrounging around to get 250 or 300,000. And every time we get some traction to bring this thing back, there's some wacky plan from either her or from Governor Cuomo. And I'm just the only thing we have is an election for Cuomo, where King Cuomo is up for election in September. So hopefully saner heads will prevail and we can end that chapter. But I don't know. Carolyn, we're very proud of you. I mean, the way you've taken this industry on your shoulders and just, you know, are doing what you can to get the word out.
I'm not a volunteer. I'm a draftee. Not like I volunteered for anything or lobbied for anything or wanted to do anything. It just sort of developed a life of its own.
we appreciate you, and you'll never leave.
No, I think this is for life. I'm a lifer.
That's good. Well, for us, it's good. Now, you're going to be on the air tonight, though, besides the Mike and Abe show, our little happy little show.
Yes, I'm going to be on Taxi Dave, and we have Graham Hodges on, who wrote a book called Taxi, A Social History of the New York City Cab Driver. It goes back to 1900 to, to 2007. I'm reading the book now. I'm up to the 1930s, and the similarities are just unbelievable. Do you know they did a congestion study? People were complaining about congestion. Do you know we were rioting in the streets from basically 1907 to 1934? Constantly.
Wow.
We were throwing rocks at policemen. We were burning cars. We were throwing rocks into the windows of the Waldorf Astoria. We were marching down Fifth Avenue. I mean, there were like thousands of drivers involved in this process.
Let me get in here, okay?
I've been back for the last three minutes.
I'm listening. I just want to know something. I don't get it. You know, the people that are in office today, they're not exactly morons, even though they act like it. Okay, wouldn't they have known about the history and what you're describing here, and known that this is that history is going to repeat itself if they continue on the same track that they've been on for the last 3 or 4 years?
Interesting. The Haas Act didn't pass the first time; it passed the second time, almost unanimously. And I think this is De Blasio's Fiorello LaGuardia moment. And he says he admires LaGuardia. I think he knows what needs to be done. It just politically, it became just impossible for him, and he tried to do it,
and they swept him away. And now all of a sudden, the numbers are. Let me tell you something. I think what's happening is I think they're not telling people behind the scenes that a lot of the big people are complaining. There's probably a lot of assaults and attacks and weird stuff coming into the police department. So now all of a sudden they're having this big epiphany. And finally, they're doing something. Can either of you just give the audience and me, for that fact, bring us up to speed on what has happened this week as far as ironically, the ex-chairperson, Christopher Lynn, has something cooking?
Yeah, I think for an ex-chairperson like Lynn or like Dawes, when they left, you know, the TLC was running in pretty good order. I don't think it's an easy job to have. And they look at it now, and it's like the place is wrecked. It's like somebody came in, broke all the windows, left garbage all over the floor. Nobody knows anything. Nobody has control over anything. So I just downloaded 11 pages of this bill that's going to be introduced about new rules and regulations for Uber-like companies. And there's actually four bills coming besides this. I didn't realize it was this long.
I have this 11-page bill, and somebody who read the bill has... made a list of the points that the bill is making, things that will be enacted if the bill passes, and it's listed from A to I, okay. And I could read this list.
Yeah,
and,
go.
And okay, A, apps can dispatch to drivers from multiple bases. B, apps cannot be bases. C, drivers cannot be affiliated with more than one app. If any of this is incorrect, just say so, okay? Apps cannot provide drivers with the destination of the passenger before accepting the fare. Okay, E, the minimum fare for an app is the taxi rate.
Right.
Okay, in other words, the apps cannot charge less than what the taxis charge. Okay? F, app vehicles must have decals of the company on the vehicle.
Right.
G, app-based services must have 25% of their cars wheelchair accessible. H, black car base stations will not have the obligation to have wheelchair accessible vehicles on demand. I, 250 vehicles maximum number for apps. Okay, now is there anything we could add? Per base. In other words, each
Yeah,
base.
I don't understand that part about the wheelchair accessibility. I thought 25% of the cars have to be wheelchair accessible.
Yeah, I don't know. I just got this list I could read the bill itself. Okay, but there was something in the bill that I thought was great, and that was
Well, there's environmental review that's going to be required.
Yeah, and they have to first, and they have to prove that the, if they want to add cars, that there's a need for the cars.
Right, which is traditionally, right, the way livery bases were supposed to operate, that they couldn't just open a base. They had to prove to the community board and the city council person that and the TLC that there was a need for the service. And they were neighborhoods, you know, based
service. And let me also add that there's they want a $2,000 fee, a $20,000 fee per base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Annually, and a $2,000 fee per car on the base. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, so if you're out there making, as the reports have been circulating, if you're out there making less than $3 an hour,
right?
You know, you're not going to be very happy coming up with a $2,000 fee, especially if you're only, you know, going to work for 2 hours a day and making, you know, $6, $7, $8,
right,
you know, so that you can have your coffee money for the next day when you go to your regular job,
right?
You're not going to want to come up with $2,000. You're going to say, you know something, I think I'm going to stop doing this.
But, you Abe, you don't understand.
More.
Abe, listen. You don't understand. The Uber driver has to feed his family. He has to feed his family.
Yeah, I know, Mike. You know, that's the nonsense that they're throwing around. But basically, you know, part of this legislation is designed to get rid of some of these 100,000 cars that are out there for no good reason.
You see, that's one thing about the yellow cab drivers and the taxi owners in the yellow cab business. See, we don't have to feed our families because everybody just gives us free stuff. You know, we walk in to get a car, the guy's like, hey, take the car, don't give me any money. Come on, get that money out of here. We go in to get food. Here, take the food. Grab another case of beer. Go ahead, get out of here with your money. I'm insulted you would try and give me money for stuff. No, this nonsense of, we have to feed our family. It's like, oh, yeah? What about us? We don't have to feed families?
No.
Actually, what we have to do is we have to hide from creditors. I have to feed my family. I have to feed my bankruptcy attorney also at the same time. Yeah.
Right. Ridiculous. And there's more legislation coming out about inspections. You know, how we have to do 3 woodside inspections every year. Which are basically like colonoscopies with no anesthesia, right? And just go to the gas station 3 times a year. Yeah, that's not the same
Well,
thing.
We have been doing these inspections for the last, since around 1992, I think.
Right.
Okay, that's 92, 02, 12. That's 26 years, okay,
right,
that we've been doing these inspections. And our taxis, our yellow taxis, have been in the best shape ever than before we were doing these inspections.
The cabs are great.
Okay.
The cabs are in great shape.
Yeah.
The fleet is great.
Yeah, I mean, I go back to 1970, and you know, people would say to me, I'd be driving up 6th Avenue, and they'd be saying, what's all that rattling?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. I remember.
Yeah, you know, and I'd say, oh, it's the road. There's the potholes everywhere, you know?
Right.
Well, it went with the subways. The subways weren't in very good shape then either.
Yeah, I remember back in the days, they had there was literally a time when the horse carriages on Central Park were not allowed to work over like 90 degrees, and the cabs didn't have air conditioning.
Right.
So I remember one day I was sitting next to a horse who was being led away back to the stables with hay and water, and you know, and maybe I'm sitting there in a cab with an overheating engine and no air conditioning.
Yeah.
Like, man, maybe I can get. How can I get this horse gig? That looks pretty good. You know?
Remember, they were going to build a new stable for them in Central Park. It was when they.
Well, I hope they were leading it to the stable instead of the glue factory.
I remember.
$20 million stable, nice stable for them in Central Park. That'd be pretty nice.
I remember a day in August where I was on Houston Street, almost to the FDR Drive. There's a little street that goes in there. I forget the name of it. Okay, and here's this bunch of kids. It was like 95 degrees outside, and I'm in my sweaty taxi, right? And these kids are having a ball with this fire hydrant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I took everything out of my pocket, saw my wallet, my money, everything, locked it up in the cab, kept the key in my pocket, walked over and joined them.
Right.
You did.
They go for a while,
yeah.
So you dry off.
Oh, I was soaked. I was soaked, man, you know. And then these kids jumped on the back of my cab, right, on the back trunk part, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they
right.
wouldn't get off. They wouldn't get off, right? And,
well, there you go.
And I'm saying, how am I going to get these kids off the cab, right? And some guy comes out, and he starts, grabs one of the kids, get the hell off of there, you know, like it must have been his father, right? he starts slapping his kid around, and all the other kids ran off, and I said, thank you. Thank you.
that's a feel-good story, Abe, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's happened. Kids are very inventive in New York. They invent their own little games, right?
I know, but going on the fire hydrants, you know, jumping onto the fire hydrants on those hot August days were a regular back in the 1970s. Okay,
right.
That was the only way I was going to be able to cool off and have a little relief from the heat. Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. People used to swim in the East River, you know that. But that not so much in the 1970s, more like 1930s.
And they're all dead today, yes.
If
you survived, you were in pretty good shape.
They were dead before they went into the river.
Yeah, it was dirtier then than it is now.
The river, I think it was a time when you could, like, I mean, it used to be disgusting. They used to just literally just empty the sewers into the East River. But speaking of emptying the sewers, what is going on with this this TLC meeting? What's the next? What more torture have they queued up for the poor unsuspecting cabbies?
The next one is March 29th, and they're going to be talking about installing something that will replace TPEP and LPEP.
Yay! Something more annoying. Is it possible to get something any more annoying than stupid TV that is a complete blight? You know, you got people complaining about it. It's becoming an unfair competitive advantage because that's another thing with Uber. They do not have TVs in the back of
their
cars.
Well, listen to this. Listen to this. Yeah. There's been a lawsuit that's been going on for several years. I was totally unaware of it. That the vendors want to go into the Uber cars, right?
Yeah.
And put
yeah.
the same taxi TV in there. Okay. The TLC weren't allowing them to do that, but they won in court, and now they're able to do this. And don't be surprised if they're not going to do it. They're going to be.
But here's the thing. I mean, the irony on these little TVs in the back of cabs, they have surveys and surveys. How about a survey? Do you want this thing in a cab? How about that survey? Where is that survey? Do you want this TV?
Well, we know the survey. We know that survey because the passengers have been telling us since the inception of this stuff, what is this stuff? How do we get it out of here?
I always shut it off. As soon as I go in a cab, I shut it off. But ironically, I actually did a ride share with another taxi rider the other day. It was 8:15 in the morning, and I was trying to get a cab, and I couldn't. And then finally, I got one, and somebody else needed it, and we agreed to share. So as soon as I got in, I shut it off, and she said, no, leave it on. I was really surprised.
Did you slap her?
I don't know. Maybe we're wrong on that. I mean, I always shut it off.
No, some people, if they have news on there or something, you know, or the weather report or something like that, people are interested in that. But I tell you something, the cabs I drove didn't need that because I always had the music on or the radio, okay? And anytime people wanted to hear the news, I'd say, you want to hear some news? They say, yeah, I'd put it on. You know,
mm-hmm.
so
right.
So the purpose of those TVs were more for commercial reasons, you know. That
right,
the,
or how to report the driver.
Yeah.
Right. Well, here's what it should be. To change it from having it going on automatically. So listen, on demand. Say, make the TV in here. If you want to watch TV, there's a little button on the right. You push it to put the TV on. Don't have it automatically go on every single bleeping trip. For people who don't want it, I'd say honestly, my people between them turning it off and asking how they can turn it off, about 80 to 85% of our customers don't want it on. And for these, I don't know what to call, I don't even have a word for some of these guys. But for some of these guys who think that it's a benefit, I would say, listen, you want to keep customers. The big picture is keeping taxi customers happy,
right.
And for a few bucks. You got this TV blasting. I don't even know the owners are getting any money out of these TVs. Hey, have you seen a dime from any of this TV advertising revenue? I mean, I got people complaining to me. I don't get any money from that.
I think any money that's coming in to that would be going to the lease managers. Okay. So I never saw a dime when I was running the taxi myself.
Right. Well, does it go to CMT and Arrow? Is that what happened?
Well,
I don't know.
It's supposed to go to the medallion owners. Okay.
That's for the roof light advertising, but the in taxi advertising, the medallion owner is supposed to get money for that. I'm not getting any money for that.
In the beginning, when they started it, they said that there will be money in the future, but I never saw any. Okay.
A lot of people I've talked to, I don't know about nobody, but a lot of people I've talked to.
Here's a suggestion. If the TVs are going to remain in there, it should be simple. You get in the cab, the thing comes on, it tells you your taxi cab bill of rights, alerts you to the fare, what the fare is, since they're not on the doors, okay? Alerts you to the fares, tells you that to use Curb or Arrow, and then it says, if you would like to watch more, press here. If not, press here.
It can flash the name, rank, and serial number, like the taxi bill of rights, and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then for to continue this broadcast, press here. Versus a new fashion sale at some store that nobody heard of. Ridiculous.
Right.
Well, what?
Right.
Oh, by the way, speaking of fares in general, Abe, you still are crusading about putting the rates back on the door, which I think is fantastic.
Right.
And you have a supermodel, Carolyn, who has also been doing the runway walk with the T-shirt on every chance she gets.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, the extra long tank fits really tight.
Uh-huh.
Really tight. The other side, I want to say that did you do that on purpose, Abe?
I had nothing to do with it. I want to say that the yellow T-shirt is absolutely one of the best quality fabrics I've ever put on. It's 100% cotton, and I have the extra large, and it fits me perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
All right? Unfortunately, I haven't been to New York to wear it. All right?
But
folks, you're going to be seeing a lot of these T-shirts come springtime. Okay, so get your T-shirt, okay, go to NYC Taxi News, and click on the shirt, and you can see on the front page it says click to enlarge, and you'll see a really, really great example of the shirt. And trust me, the material couldn't be better. It could not be better.
I think the stars are aligning for you, Abe, because I see in fashion news that taxi yellow is the big color this spring for women. In dresses, blouses, and pants, and pocketbooks, everything. Taxi yellow. Interesting.
Okay.
It's going to be our year.
So Mike, you didn't get your shirt yet, did you?
I'm saving my money. I'm working. I'll get it this week. I got a couple of bucks coming in, so I will get a shirt. And how much is it again? How much is the shirt again?
It's with the shipping, it's like $23, but it's worth every penny of it.
Oh, there was a 50% discount. That's how I got my
They do have discounts from time to time. So, you could call them. You could go click on and go to the shop, and there's a phone number. You can call the shop and ask when they're having discounts. Okay?
All right. Okay.
Let me do that right now, okay? Let me go to the front page of NYC Taxi News. If I could find it, here it is. I'm going to click on this. I clicked on the enlarged shirt. I'm looking at a beautiful picture of the shirt. I'm clicking on the shirt again, and that takes me to the shop, okay? And the shop's phone number is 800-381-0815. Okay, the name of the shop is Spreadshirt that makes them. But click on that, and you'll see all of the shirts, okay?
Uh-huh.
And there's hoodies and other things if you want to buy them. Okay, the price of the shirt is $20.49 plus $2.99 shipping. And they do have discounts. They run them every once in a while, okay? So you can check with them on that, okay? But I'll tell you right now, this shirt is worth every penny that you pay for it. Okay?
Well, I'm glad that's where the people will see the rate of fare because...
Yeah.
We had a few idiots who took the rate of fare for yellow cabs off the side doors, which had been there for about, 70 years. So it give me an idea of politics in New York. It's like, hey, listen, the old chairperson is gone. The people who made the rules are gone. Can we put the sticker back on the door for the cabs? It's become this crusade to do something as simple as putting the cab rates on the side of doors. And I see VIA as their little blue thing on the side of their... Oh, by the way, you know, these VIA cars are group riding sometimes for the same rate as the buses and trains. What moron is allowing the MTA buses to put advertising from VIA on their buses and Uber on their buses? What's going on? We're kicking in 50 cents a trip to the MTA because they say they're broke all the time. And then they're taking ads from VIA and Uber, who wants drivers who are making slave wages, in my opinion. And
well, $3.37 an hour.
Yeah,
according to MIT.
I mean, it would be good. I mean, they're only about 37 years behind the minimum wage. So they're making $3.37 an hour. And they're also sucking away revenue from the MTA. So why are you putting their ads on their buses? And then they got the new MTA chairman, a guy from Australia. So apparently nobody in the city of New York is good enough to run the MTA. Australia.
Did nobody in the city is good enough to run the TLC? I mean, she's from Philadelphia.
Okay. Right, she's a Philly
lawyer. And Bill de Blasio, where is he from? Our last mayor.
Boston. She's from Boston.
And
Con,
so was Mike Bloomberg.
Somewhere in California or Oregon.
Mike Bloomberg from Boston.
Right. We're going to have 16 years of Boston mayors running New York. Why is that?
Oh, and the police commissioner also, right, was from Boston.
Oh, my God.
Right? Bratton.
Oh, my God.
Right.
You know,
he worked on Central Park South, and his wife didn't like looking at the horses.
You know something? I hate to say this, but I want Giuliani back.
Is he still around? I don't know where. I
yeah, he's around.
Yeah, we could get him back.
He's from Brooklyn. Giuliani grew up in Brooklyn, not too far from my high school, by the way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, only a few blocks. All right. Mm-hmm. George Whittingate High School in Brooklyn. That's where I went to school. All right.
Well, we have 16 years of Boston mayors. That's what's going to be at the end of the Oscar. 16 years of people from Boston getting elected to be the mayor of New York. And it's disgusting, in my opinion. In my opinion, of course.
Yeah.
It is strange. Like, I like immigrants. The more, the better. Like, let them come. Latin America, Asia, Europe, Africa. It's all great. I get new restaurants to eat at. But there's one type of immigrant I don't like. It's the people who come from out of state. Like the people from the left coast, the people from Boston. I was talking to somebody in the city council, and he said, you're right, they don't understand our culture. Like, they'll say things like, well, the bike lanes worked in Portland, but this isn't Portland. You know, for a bike lane or a bus lane or autonomous vehicle to work, you need an obedient, compliant population. Do you know any New Yorkers who fit that description? I don't.
Not me.
No. So that's why those things don't work here, because people here don't obey rules. This isn't Holland. It's not Germany. It's not Japan. We're not a compliant, obedient population. So, I mean, our culture will have to change if they really want to have those things.
Well, I'm just concerned because now the one thing they understand is getting voted out of office. And Cuomo apparently is running for an outrageous third term as governor of the state of New York.
Yeah.
And we have to look at the city council because before the recent crew got in there, the city council was degenerating into almost cult status where they weren't even looking to reason. They were just voting in a block, like just, you know, turning their brain off and voting any way that they were told to vote.
If they were even voting, because Melissa McVivarito was sitting on all kinds of legislation and she wouldn't let out of her office.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Can do that. Council members can come up with all kinds of bills and present them, and then they're told by the legal staff of the city council, oh, you can't put that bill forward. Somebody else already is doing something similar. Oh, no, we can't tell you who that person is or exactly what the legislation is, but you can't introduce your legislation. She did that several times.
I wonder if that's what happened with the rates on the cab door. How the hell did they get off the cab door? What happened?
You're right, because you're absolutely right, because there was a bill introduced by Jimmy Vaca, who's out of the city council now, but he was in there at the time. He introduced a bill to put the rates back on the doors. They had hearings. Everybody was for it except the Uber guy, Ashwini Shabra. He was then at the TLC, but then, of course, as we know, he went on to Uber. Everybody was for it, and then the bill just died. It just went away. It says Finadie on the city council website. Well, I presume that means it died. I don't know. I don't have any Latin.
Well, we know that we don't need a city council bill to put the rates back on
right.
the door because
exactly.
we didn't need a city council bill to take the rates off the door.
Right.
And I personally have petitioned the TLC to put the rates back on the door. I put this petition just a few weeks ago. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't heard word one back. Okay?
Maybe that will come up at the March 29th hearing.
I sure hope so.
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I sure hope so.
By the way, Carolyn, Abe has invited us down to lunch at his Florida castle. And so I'm just wondering, Abe, what day is that? St. Patrick's Day? What day are you going to fly us down?
Pick a day.
Okay.
Pick a day.
I'm ready.
All right. We'll throw a dart at the board. Let's see.
St. Patrick's Day is you have to wear green, right?
Well, it usually winds up that way.
I'm thinking of serving lettuce sandwiches.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you one thing about St. Patrick's Day. I will not be working St. Patrick's Day.
You won't be working. Yeah. I can imagine why. Leave that day to Uber.
Right. The Uber, they'll make their $200 vomit.
Leave the day to the green cars.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, you talk about Uber. Hasn't the MTA TWU Local 100. Now, Carolyn, I had requested that we try and get a hold of it. Somebody I was going to try and get a hold of. I don't know how, but what they've allowed Uber to do is basically create a 90,000 car scab labor force. So if the union ever wants to go on strike or have a work action, they're going to have 90,000 scabs ready to roll with Uber cars. So has there been any traction from talking to TWA, the transit workers union people, or has their pension fund invested in Uber? That's the other thing I was wondering.
Yeah, nobody ever. I tried getting in touch with them, and nobody
really?
Got back to me. I could try again.
Please. No, I just want them to say yes, we can talk about it, or no, we can't, or no, just something.
Yeah,
all of a sudden
right.
you go in there, it's like this little secret society they have there with this transit workers union. So listen, we're not going to be critical. In fact, we want to help.
Right, I didn't even get a form letter back. I mean, usually when somebody doesn't want to talk to you, at least you get a form letter. You know, if you write to the governor or the mayor, I didn't get anything.
Right.
Nothing.
Well, I'm going to do a little homework about their union because allegedly they represent thousands of bus and subway operators in the MTA transit system, and it can't be a good thing if their memberships are having their resources depleted and their workforce basically cut down because Uber drivers are working for basically 10% of what the MTA workers are working for. So there's got to be somebody at the MTA, the TWU Local 100 Union, who will give us an answer about why they are so silent, or why are they afraid of saying anything about Uber. I'm just curious.
Yeah, that was part of what came up in the 1930s, because they said that the cabs were so cheap that they were undercutting the buses and the subways. Same issue.
but those were the days when we had like 14,000 cabs, and then we just had a mishmash. But I'm going to look into some of that old New York Times articles or something about 1937 when they passed the Hatch Act, and just verbatim find out why they passed. And it's probably the same thing that's going on today. You don't need all these Uber cars in the street. They're ridiculous. I went out the other day on a Friday. You could not go up 6th Avenue, way, shape, or form, which is a sea of little black Camry cars and SUVs and a guy who looked like he just walked out of a spaceship. He like with his arms stiff at the 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock position, looks like it's his first second of driving a car, and he's probably illegal. Oh, I got to tell you one thing. I know I'm rambling, but that's what I do. I'm sorry. Just give me like a little 2-minute stretch. I'll tell you this very interesting little story that I had. I think I told this to Abe last week. Abe, you still there?
I'm here.
Abe?
I'm here too.
Okay, good. Okay. I was pulling up next to a guy. The guy jumps out of away from the curb with people in his car, almost T-bones my cab, where it would have been impossible to do that unless he wanted to do it intentionally, but he was just a horrible driver.
Mm-hmm.
So he's driving a little black Uber Camry car with a big Uber sign in, and four people, there was three girls and a guy in there. And I said, yeah, you almost hit the car. He starts laughing. And the girl started laughing. Ah. So I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $5 if you show me your TLC license. He goes, I don't need $5. He raised his hand. I said, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $10. I take out the money. I say, I show him. I'll give you a $10 bill right now. She's a witness, the girl in the front seat. Give me a $10 bill if you show me your TV. I don't need $10. And I said, and I took out a $20 bill. I said, listen, wow. I have a $20 cash bill right here. No questions asked. You can show your TLC operator license to either me or the girl in the front seat or your passengers. I just want to see proof that you have an operator's license to drive that car.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, he had this look on his face like panic. And I started like waving the $20. And then the girl in the front seat looks at me, and she looks at him and says, well, listen, he's giving you $20. Where's the license?
Right.
All of a sudden, he gets this look on his face. He floors it and speeds away.
Wow.
So how's that? How's that for your answer if the guy was legal or not driving an Uber
car,
okay?
Anybody can transfer a phone to anybody.
I think, you know something, Mike? You just gave me a great idea. They should get Ben Bailey on the cash cab to drive up to these guys and say, I have $300 here if you show me your license, right?
The Uber challenge. That's all Uber passengers. If your driver can show you a valid license to drive his Uber car, give him $5.
Right.
I say that, Carol, if I don't make it, please say that on the show today. So the Uber challenge.
Definitely. You should say that. Yeah.
And the other Uber challenge is, I think all that Uber and all their drivers should refund the money to their passengers 100%, unless they come up with a mile run for weights and measures. Because what I understand, they're charging by the mileage. Where's the proof from the Department of Weights and Measures? Well, I mean, cabs go for. I went for my mile run with Mitchell, my buddy who runs cabs. He's got like 10 medallions or whatever medallions. But I had to go for a mile run. Every so often, you have to go for a mile run in the cab. The taxi meter is calibrated to make sure it's running properly so you won't have a fast meter. So the meter checked out, the meter is straight. Where is the mile run for these Uber cars charging on mileage?
There is no such standard for them. They're going to dumb the whole thing down because part of the thing they're going to discuss on the March 29th TLC meeting is a replacement for TPEP and LPEP, but also virtual meters. So we would have a virtual meter, you know,
what
with
is
a satellite
virtual meter?
Like Uber does. But they're not as accurate as the old-fashioned meter.
What is a virtual meter? Tell me.
I think it's hooked up to a satellite.
A satellite?
Isn't that how the GPS works?
It's like a GPS meter.
GPS.
In other words, it's hooked up to a GPS, and it measures the distance.
Yeah, there's been a pilot program going on for a while with that.
No.
But it's not as accurate.
Listen, this is just, in my opinion, it's just another situation where a few geeks want to make $1 million by getting the cabbies, forcing the cabbies to buy something. Okay?
Yeah, I wonder
totally
who the company is,
you know,
who's going to supply this technology, and who are they related to.
You know, we have a TPEP system, we have a meter system, okay? And this is simply a case of it's not broke, but they want to fix it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Nobody cry for this.
Right.
Nobody cares. If people like a taxi meter. It's part of our little shtick. It's like a prop. It's like a showbiz prop.
Those meters have been in taxis since the tick, 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 tick days. You know, if you remember, go back.
Tradition.
You know,
I remember.
You know, that's where they get the, they had the arm that you throw the arm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, back in the way back, 60s, 50s, before I was born. Okay?
Right.
I mean, when I first got into a taxi, the first thing I learned is how to throw the arm. The second thing I learned is how to do an arm job.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
which is what could happen, again, if, you know, if there's no watching these meters, you know, and or going back to a complete, commission system.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, that's another thing I was wondering. I mean, what point do we stay? Because I'm getting in the cab now. It's literally, I've had weeks where it's 80%, 85% credit card. So if that's the case, you might have to start going back to a commission system. Because I don't think a lot of cab drivers, speaking frankly, are going to drive yellow cabs if they're getting 85% of their money in credit cards. Because there's just too much blind faith with these credit cards. You don't know these people. I mean, we're not really getting paid in advance. And then they have another thing come in. All this geek stuff. For who? For what? There's probably like about 5 or 10 people making millions of dollars or ready to make millions of dollars. And everybody has to suffer. And that's what happened with a lot of this GPS crap. Is and all this TV and all this weird stuff in cabs. I'd say, now that the jury is out, how much of it was really necessary at this stage of the game? What has it done for the yellow cab? And right, let's put it this way. Right now, since that crap has been put in yellow cabs, the medallion went from $1 million to $200,000. Okay? There's your answer.
Yeah.
Way, shape, or form. Okay? So thank you very much for destroying us with high-tech crap. So, in my opinion, and with all due respect.
Yeah, it didn't improve anybody's life.
No, it's just some gadget that people are... There's a few people who invent stuff, or was it the... what is it they have this thing that's called... the Request for Information, RFI. Carolyn, you're the...
RFP? Request for Proposal?
Now, explain what what that is. With TLC.
Oh, that's when an agency like the TLC is looking for a vendor to do something for them. The last RFP they put out was to find a vendor to administer tests to new drivers. And they will have to test 6,000 drivers a month.
Well, it'll
be 72,000 drivers in a year.
Right.
More drivers.
Now, don't they have a taxi school? Last I checked, they had 3 or 4 taxi
schools.
Yeah,
I don't know why they're doing an RFP for another vendor. Like, why did they get another vendor for the accessible dispatch program?
Right.
It's another vendor. They had the people up in Connecticut, I forget their name, and now they have somebody else doing it. I don't understand why. I think the old system worked pretty well for the people on the
road. There's a lot of things going on that they just don't want to tell us.
Right.
And that's an out-of-state company. The company who's doing the accessible dispatch, I forget what state they're in. It's someplace down south. It's not a local company. Why is that? You know, why you couldn't find a local company to do that? It's odd.
Well, this is the thing with the Port Authority that I've always said. Every time I see the Port Authority digging up the airports in Queens where I live, they're you know, digging up LaGuardia, they're digging up Kennedy. I see all these, I see a Pennsylvania truck, I see a New Jersey truck, I see a Connecticut truck, I see all these guys from out of town with their trucks. And I'm saying to myself, wait a second. First of all, why do we need the Port Authority for anything? They're basically a New Jersey-based company, okay?
Right.
And we have enough technology. I know Melinda Katz is the borough president of the Queens, say, listen, between the airport in Queens and the airport at JFK, Queens would be rolling in dough if we just kept our airport revenues for ourselves and for our city. Why do we have to send this money to the Port Authority? Here's what the Port Authority does with money, all right? They go to 9/11 Memorial, and they build an oculus. You say, well, what is an oculus? It looks like a big claw hand sticking out of the ground into the sky that costs $2 billion. So that's where your Port Authority money goes. And I think that's enough. And not to mention letting the Uber hustlers run wild at Terminal 4 and Terminal 5 and all over the airport. So maybe it's time to just shut down the Port Authority and say, get out of here! Go away! So that's my
right. Yeah, but then Cuomo would lose his funding. He's got $30 million in his campaign war chest. And some
from
of that money, a lot of that money comes from people he appointed to various and sundry agencies. Which he's not really supposed to be taking money from those people. But he rationalized it by saying, well, I can't fire them. If I can't fire them, then I can take money from them, even though I did give them the job.
What about if you eliminate the agency? If you eliminate the agency, you don't have to fire anybody.
Right.
Right?
Right. Public funding and eliminate the agencies.
Yeah. Okay, Carolyn, expand on that, what Cuomo's incentive is to keep the Port Authority. What, he has discretionary funding or something?
Well, I think whoever he appoints to any agency, he can solicit donations from them, from their families, from their coworkers, from businesses they're associated with. They all give him money. You know, those are the goodies. He hands out, you know, chairmanships and seats on boards and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It works very well. He's got more money than anybody else in his campaign war chest, $30 million.
And I'll tell you, I'm amazed how these politicians can be literally bought and sold for pennies on the dollar. The marginal amount of money needed to get a politician in your pocket. That's why I wonder, how come we don't have any politicians in our pocket? What about these big shots?
You know, you're absolutely right. And that was one of the things Doug Shifter was talking about, the guy who killed himself.
Blew his head off, unfortunately.
Blew his brains out outside of City Hall, delivery driver, because he was saying, you know, you're an untapped resource, cab drivers, cab owners. You're more than 100,000 people. That's got to be the largest voting block in the city. Well, maybe public housing is a little large. I think public housing is 400,000 people. But that's a pretty large voting block. And then, plus their families, we're probably talking about 500,000 people.
At least.
And, you know, we should be doing something. Somebody who works with the mayor's office told me the other day that we need to be at every FHV committee meeting in the city council. The next one coming up, I have it on my computer. It's a budget hearing, but it's March 8th, and they're going to be going over the budget for the TLC. It's at 1:30 in the afternoon on March 8th in City Hall.
Good. I will be there because I can wake up at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Right. Yeah, it's
grown
it's
up
late
with the 9 o'clock meetings.
Right. It's a late shift. So there's that, the TLC meetings. The mayor's going to be having a town hall once a month in different places. And he said, you know, some of you should show up to each one of these things, you know, just to make your presence known, to see that you're there, that you have an interest. And the other thing he said is, do you ever call up the Brian Lehrer show on Friday? I think it's at 10 a.m. in WNYC. You should do that because the mayor takes questions. You know, you can email.
I'm on my way.
You can email, you can tweet. Maybe he wants questions from us, you know. Maybe that was a little hint for us.
Well,
we have to pick up the ball, you know.
Right. The thing with Mayor de Blasio, okay, any administrator or executive like that, he's processing information that is given to him by people and sources. Mm-hmm. So, like with Uber, pardon the French, is constantly shoveling bullshit at City Hall and the mayor. And after a while, it's there's no counterbalance. So all of a sudden, it's just propaganda and more nonsense being shoveled to the mayor. So he's going to say, well, I guess this is what's happening because this is all I'm hearing. And it's just like, Uber's job is to take all the air out of the room. All right? You think I'm bad? Uber's worse. I mean, just that's what Uber does. They're just constantly smashing propaganda into the mayor's office. And it's up to us, literally, to have a counterbalance. That's what's going
on.
So,
do you know what their reaction was to Doug Shifter's suicide? Uber's reaction? Alex Ann Fang. Her comment was, we're for sensible policies like congestion pricing. That was their comment. Yeah, I read it on uberpeople.net. That's what they said on
uberpeople.net. How about Uber Robot? Uberrobots.net.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing with Uber, I've done, Abe, you can jump on is with the Uber driver, the net that this driver is making per fare, it's like, I mean, after the expenses and leasing the car and gas, and clothes and tires and everything else and repairs and tolls, the driver's going to get, let's say, maybe 30%. Then that 30% is taxable. So it's taxable net income. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the driver's making like 20, 25% of an Uber job. You got to be kidding me. 25%.
Well, you know, Mike, I wonder if they're reporting these taxes, okay? Because
I don't know.
Well, there's no TPAP meter in, you know, the equipment to keep track of what they're making. Uber is a corporation, and I don't think they're required to send a 1099 form if you make less than $600 a year. Okay.
I don't know.
I would assume they make more than $600 a year.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't know. These part-timers making $3 an hour. They go out for 3 hours a day, you know, maybe twice a week. They make $18 a week.
There was a time when Lyft did not send out a 1099. I think if you earned under 20, I think it was 20,000. Could have been 10, but I think it was 20, which is, you know, that's a nice little part-time job, you know, 20,000 tax-free every year. But I think they changed it. I think they do send out 1099s now. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Anyway, speaking of which, I got to get out and go to work. You guys want to wrap up, or how much more show do we have?
Well, I want comments on this proposed legislation with the FHV.
Can I just read one thing and tell me what you guys think?
Okay, go ahead.
App-based for hire service shall include an entity that operates under a single brand, so that's Uber, across multiple base stations or allows drivers from multiple base stations to operate on its platform to receive app-based trips. Now, base stations are liveries. Those are not black car bases. So basically, this is all being thrown to livery bases, all this work, I think. Right. Think I'm right on that?
I don't know.
Well,
that's my reading of it.
I missed that completely. Well, take it from the topic.
Okay, Uber, because they're an for-hire service.
Which page is this on?
For-hire service. It was FF. It was FF. Which is funny.
Well, yeah, okay. I read it again.
FF.
Go ahead.
Okay, app-based for-hire service shall include an entity that operates under a single brand across multiple base stations. Or
okay,
allows drivers.
Stop. Let's do it a sentence at a time.
Okay.
Operate under a single brand means that you can't operate under two brands.
Well, I think that would be Uber or Lyft.
One or the other. Yeah. Many of these cars will just take a call from whatever app calls them. They could be operating under three different apps.
No, I think now it's going to have to go through the base. And I think it's going to have to go through a base station.
Well, that's what FHVs are supposed to do. You know, the cars now, the Uber and Lyft and whatever cars right now, are operating directly without a base station.
Yeah.
In other words, I take out my smartphone. I tap the Uber app, right?
Yeah.
And all Uber gets is a signal that there's a job going on, and they're handling all of the money part.
Right, and then they stick the number into one of their bases, so it comes out on the TLC website that base Donak or Unter, you know, did a certain number of trips that month. But it's not like somebody called up that base and asked for a car.
What I think it's saying is that Unter or whatever it might be, you know, Uglier would be a good name, all right? Should that be an actual base where, you know, where there's an office located?
Right, okay. It's a base station, which would make it a livery base. But you can't open the livery base unless there's a need for it and unless an environmental study has been done.
Well, I think that's what this bill is designed to do, create the fact that if this isn't so, then you don't have a base and you don't have a business.
Yeah, that was their first base,
okay.
Unter, which means under, which also comes from Nazi culture, the Untermenschen with the subhumans. How telling is that Uber names its first base Unter? Like, as if the drivers who work for it are subhumans.
Very, very, very creepy, I must say. It's, wow. Yikes.
Yeah, it's weird.
I believe that,
creepy.
Look, the whole of this bill is designed to put things right. In other words, they have 100,000 cars on the street.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it is crazy. You know, there's no need for them. There's no need for them. They have to be limited to an amount of cars. Oh, there was a part in this bill that says that if the cars weren't doing at least 10 trips a day, then they were not needed. Okay.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, that's good.
All right.
That's very sensible. Yeah.
Okay. You know, so.
Here's what's happening with the Uber cars is you basically have people who have gotten rid of their private cars and just gotten a car they can use for Uber, and they're just working one or two trips after work. So they have their regular job.
That's what I'm saying,
They clog up the city because they're taking their private car, which is now an Uber car, into Manhattan. So they'll finish their 9-to-5 job, let's say in Brooklyn or the Bronx or in Queens or in Manhattan or wherever they work, and then they're just going to go and pick up maybe one or two Uber jobs in their private cars times 90,000. So that's not fair for everybody.
Yeah,
I mean,
let me say this. In order to do 10 trips a day, okay, you have to put in at least 5 or 6 hours.
Oh, they'd have to do much more, I think.
Yeah, well, look, I used to do some days 30 trips, okay? You know, it would take me 12 hours to do 30 trips.
But they can only do 10 trips a day if they get rid of some of their cars. Then maybe the
That's the point. Right, that's the point.
Yeah.
That if a car's not doing 10 trips a day, you know, they're not going to want to pay $2,000 and, you know, they're going to give up.
Yeah.
They're going to say, okay, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And,
you know,
hope...
Yeah. I don't want to be the heretic. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now, hopefully that'll eliminate a lot of these cars. Okay, and leave the cars. You know, that's what happened when they created the medallion system. They put out 14,000 medallions or something, and there were a bunch of them that still weren't making enough money, and they gave back a bunch, and it went down to 11,000.
Mm-hmm.
It was 11,687 for like 30 years, 40 years, okay,
wow.
Or more. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that was enough for the whole city of New York, okay?
Yeah.
All the boroughs, okay?
Right.
Everybody seemed to survive okay for 70 years.
Yeah, I used to work Brooklyn. I used to work Brooklyn when I first started. I never went to Manhattan, okay?
Right.
There were people hailing me all over Brooklyn, all right?
Yep.
And then the gypsy cars started to appear, all right? And, it got a little worse. And then they made them legal. They turned them into livery cars that were supposed to only take prearranged, But there they were picking up street hails all over Brooklyn, okay? They kind of forced the yellows out of Brooklyn, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Which
oh,
was,
yeah.
You know, but I would continue to work Brooklyn anytime I was there,
mm-hmm.
I never said, I'm in Brooklyn, I'm going back to Manhattan. I always... if I'm on Coney Island Avenue, in Avenue Z, I take Coney Island Avenue, I'm looking for fares, okay?
Right.
I'm talking about, 10, 8, 9 years ago, all right? When before I stopped driving, all right? Even 6 years ago, all right? And I'll take Coney Island Avenue, I'll drive up by Prospect Park, I'll go around Park Circle, I'll go up Prospect Park Southwest. Okay, and go around, there's another circle there into 15th Street, take 15th Street over to 7th Avenue, make a right, and now I'm on Park Slope, okay, and I'm picking up fares. I turn the corner on 15th Street and 7th Avenue in Park Slope, and there's somebody looking for a cab, okay?
Yeah.
And back in the day, I didn't have to go that far to find a fare, all right?
Right.
Okay. So,
yeah.
So usually,
if I'm in Queens and Brooklyn, I see green cabs.
Yeah.
But yesterday I was in Jackson Heights at the 65th Street stop on the R train, and I had to go somewhere around there, and I got out, and I didn't know how to get where I was going, and there were yellow cabs everywhere.
Sure.
Which is awesome. I took one.
Yeah, Abe, alluding to your point with the Brooklyn stuff is, I was watching The French Connection, which is an unbelievably great freaking movie, The French Connection,
with
Gene Hackman. My mm-hmm. God!
Uh-huh.
If you like, I mean, aside from the story itself, if you like little clips of old New York, they have old New York all over the place. My
uh-huh.
God, you just lose yourself in this movie. But sure, the chase scene, the guy's under the L going 80 miles an hour trying to catch the nut on the train, and Abe, all you do is you see yellow cabs under the L going
mm-hmm.
towards Manhattan. You see yellow
I
cabs
think
going.
I think that was in Bay Ridge. Bay Fifth Street is Coney Island. It's not Coney Island.
Oh,
actually.
They shot it under the Coney Island train. Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
It's not exactly Coney Island. It's just before Coney Island.
Right.
There's a bridge there that takes you into Coney Island. No, not Brighton Beach. Not Brighton Beach. Brighton Beach is the other side of Ocean Parkway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right. But you can see easily that they had yellow cabs, and back then we're talking for yellow cabs working under the L in Coney Island.
It's the south side of Bensonhurst, okay?
Right.
And on 86th Street there's an L. That's where they were, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can
right?
tell you they're
well,
not there now. I went to a concert at Coney mm-hmm. Island near where the fishing pier is. There's a concert
mm-hmm.
venue there now. And
mm-hmm.
when I came out, there was only green cabs. A lot of green cabs, but no yellow cabs.
Right.
Those green cabs, before they were green, they were livery cars doing street
Oh, they were
hails.
Livery? Oh. Uh-huh.
And before they were livery cars doing street hails, they were gypsy cabs.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
All right? All right, listen, we can wrap it up now.
Oh, wait, Mike, what were you going to say about being a heretic? You said, I don't want to be a heretic, but we were talking about getting cars off the road.
Well, I was going to say with the congestion pricing, I was thinking if you had a flat rate day pass, not a per trip idiotic pass, but if every car coming into the central business district had to have a day pass on certain days, right? Just like attached to the easy pass instead of a per trip thing and 9 o'clock. So say, listen, starting, and this alludes to the fact that it'll thin the herd with the Uber wackos, because hypothetically, if you had a day pass for the cars of X, whatever that number would be, I know me, for one, I would definitely triple the cost of that day pass if it was reasonable. Like, for example, instead of paying, some stupidity of this moron governor of saying $2 or $5 a trip, which basically is all the money I'm making, I'm going to hand to the state, like
right.
a slave.
Yeah.
But if you had something that say a day pass for all cars and all trucks of, let's say, $10. Listen, you can't come into the Central Business District unless you're going to pay $10 or $15 for the day, okay? So, and just Monday to Friday. The weekend, I don't know, but Sunday, or maybe you get a break. But a daily pass attached to the Easy Pass. So listen, especially with these trucks, you got empty trucks coming in and out of the city. I mean, they open up the back of these box trucks. You see a chair, you see a box.
Okay.
The rest of the truck is empty. And the same with the Uber cars. Say, look, pal, you want to come into the city and play cab driver with your little black POS mobile, you got to pay for the day. And these club kids, they don't even spend money. They come into the city with their cars. They're smoking weed. They're drinking beer. They're doing texting. They don't park. They don't spend money. They just drive around and around and around and around. So if you want to do something constructive, look into a day pass coming into the city of into Manhattan versus a per trip or toll or any of the stupidity that has created these plans by people who don't drive for a living. So that's one thing I would look into, because you got to really thin the herd. And if you thinned that herd, I know I would make a fortune at the end of the day. And then I know some drivers are like, oh, what are you talking about? I don't care. I've done the math.
Okay.
Well, that's what the proposal is for the private cars, $11 a day to come in.
Well, it should be for everybody.
For the private cars, and then right. they were going to do $5 a trip on us or $2 a trip. But I don't know, somebody was saying, it was former Assembly Member Richard Brodsky was saying, it seems like the congestion thing is sort of dying down, going away.
It wasn't in the budget.
It's not going to go away until the congestion disappears somehow. And I think that this bill, that the FHV bill, will help get rid of the problem that
right.
created the congestion, which
right.
is the Ubers, Lyfts, and all the other app cars. Okay,
right.
and if they could cut those cars by 60 or 70%, then we have a problem solved.
You know what's
okay.
interesting? I don't even think the passengers would notice. I think they'd still have plenty of cars to pick them up.
Sure.
They might not even notice.
Look, we were servicing the public very
exactly.
well before any of this started.
Exactly.
And I'm going to end the show on that, okay?
Okay.
And I'm going to say, I want to thank you guys for coming on. I want to say...
thank you, Ed. You're another MVP. The MVP.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm the MVP.
And the high-tech guy.
And I want you guys... And I want you guys out there, if you haven't paid your taxes yet, okay, it's April 1st is coming up before you know it, okay?
April
Tony
1st.
Tax, call Tony Tax, April 15th. But once you get to April 1st, if you haven't got an accountant, you know, he's going to tell you I'm too busy, all right? So
right.
call Tony Tax now, okay? Tony Tax at 718-413-6126, okay? If you want to file for bankruptcy and if you can't take it anymore, don't kill yourself. Call Peter Joseph, okay? He's our bankruptcy attorney, okay? 212-924-1498, okay? And if you need to get some great deals on taxis, we have WB Taxi, Checker Management,
mm-hmm.
and the MTBOT, and they all want to see you, okay?
And they're all
so
on the first
one of them.
NYC Taxi News.
Right, and click on their ads, it'll take you to their websites, okay? So, Carolyn,
mm-hmm.
thanks for doing the show with us today.
Carolyn,
Mike,
great. Thank you very much, Carolyn. Thank you. Thank
Mike,
you.
Mike, we'll beat each other up another time, okay?
Yep.
And,
I'm looking forward to it.
And everyone, thanks for listening to the Taxi Dave. Thanks for listening. Listen to the Taxi Dave show tonight.
Sunday night. Sunday night. Just say Sunday night. Yeah.
Sunday night.
Well, Carolyn,
Sunday
you're gonna
night
be, you're,
with Carolyn.
Yeah, I'm going
right.
to be on
right.
with Graham Hodges, the historian, talking about the last 100 years in the taxi business.
And that's tonight.
Oh, cool.
That's
yeah.
tonight, oh. and today is March 4th. Okay.
Yeah.
I hope
Sunday,
to have
yeah.
this show up in time for people to listen to that. If not, you listen anyway. The replays of the Taxi Dave shows are on NYC Taxi News. Okay.
Right. And I want to tell Errol Lewis, get Carolyn back on the show. Errol Lewis, do a mitzvah. Get Carolyn back on that show.
Oh, yeah. I think the taxi medallion owners will be on Errol Lewis' show at some point in the next week. We got thrown off because there was a lot of news about the school's chancellor who decided he didn't want the job. So that took up all the airtime. So they postponed us. I think till this coming week. We'll see.
Okay.
Okay, let us know. By all means, please give us know.
Okay. Everybody out there, thanks for tuning in to the Mike and Abe show. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye, world.
And sometimes Carolyn. Okay.
And, Carolyn, you're welcome anytime.
Okay. Thanks.
Right.
Okay.
And we'll see you guys again the next time, maybe next week. Okay.
See you on the road. I get the cab sitting.
Yeah. All right. Mike, go to work. Carolyn, I'll talk to you soon. And bye bye, everyone.